All right, welcome back. It still asks the pastor. But before we start, sir, there is something that has been happening online and among the body of the end time message believers worldwide. And that's the fact that very recently, Kamala Harris, the vice president of the United States of America, was opportuned to be acting president for a few hours. And it's recorded that she's the only woman to have served in that office for that long. A lot of anti-message believers have come up with the prophecy that Prophet William Branham gave years back about a woman becoming the president of America. So the question is Kamala Harris the one, or is this prophecy being fulfilled?
Let's get the prophecy. Let's get the prophecy. Mm. Can we have the prophecy, please?
Yes, in 1933, this is a woman's nation. It's a number 13. It appears in the 13th chapter of Revelation. 13 stars, 13 stripes, 13. Everything's the 13th. Everything is a woman. And remember, thus saith the Lord, there'll be a woman rule before the end time. She'll either be president, vice president, or it'll be the Catholic Church as a woman. I've seen her, a great woman. The nation bowed to her. It'll be one before the end time. Thus saith the Lord. Write it down and find out, you young people. See if it happens. If it isn't, I'm a false prophet.
A woman will rise in America that will either be
president,
vice president, or it will be the Catholic Church. Prophecy. I want to be very, very careful here. I want to be very, very careful. There's a difference between prediction and a prophecy. There's a difference between prediction and a prophecy. A prophecy is hearing directly from God, and you will say it exactly as. On my way to the church, a sister had a revelation, and she was telling me what she had. And she used the word, and he said, use the word a signet in the course of mentioning a signet. Then she had, but I think it's a ring. He said, I had. He said the ring, then he saw signet, and that after she came out of the revelation, she tried to check the meaning of signet, and she saw the ring. And I quickly cautioned her. I said, sister, say what you heard. I said, say what you heard, because you are telling me what you heard. Don't interpret it. Say what you heard. That is prophecy. Now, that is a prophecy. You are saying what you are told, whether you understood it or not. Did Isaiah understand the prophecy he was given? Virgin shall conceive and give the. It's scientifically, it's not, you know. So, he saw, you know, a scripture where Isaiah saw on the highway lightning and something, horse chariots, lightning on the highway. He saw the invention that we get to at that time, of their time, is chariots. Now they will see cars, you know, with speed. So he was describing whatever he saw. Now, but when it comes to prediction, a prediction is you putting two and two together, preventing circumstances, and then putting it together and, you know, you can conclude what will become of what you have analyzed. It is called prediction. And Brother Abraham himself, in further to what he was talking about, he mentioned it, that with the granting of the vote to women to also vote, that they will take advantage of number and one day, bring up a woman president. vote a woman president. That is prediction. But now, it described, this is where, you know, where the confusion is that he spoke, he said, it will either be president, vice president, or it could be the Catholic Church.
She'll either be president, vice president, or it'll be the Catholic Church as a woman.
So, which one is which now? God doesn't know whether it will be Catholic Church or this or that. Now, he described that a woman wearing purple. Now, you know that that is a description of that woman in Revelation chapter 17,
yes,
which we see as the Catholic Church. So the whole thing there is, you know, well, be it as it may, for the first time, a woman in America has risen to become the vice president. And on the day of the inauguration, she wore a purple cloth. So that could be what William Branham saw. So, but the way it was presented, you know, it went with his own understanding, his own interpretation. So now watch it. Is this what makes him a prophet? That's where the answer is. But before I get to that, let me answer your question first. Could Kamala Harris be fulfilling that prophecy of, because you cannot be prediction if you now give the color of the cloth. You see how we are, cannot be prediction anymore. So he actually saw something,
okay,
you know. And now, so it has come to pass. So we will say yes now. What William Branham said he saw has come to pass. It's supposed to be a sign of the end. It's supposed to be a sign of the end. And now she's not only vice president, she even, of course, is a constitutional provision. If the president, the country cannot be without a president for even 1 minute. The country must have leadership, a president. And should, that's why they made provision for the vice. Immediately, Kamala Harris became the vice president. It was only, you don't need prophecy, that should anything happen to the president, the constitution made provision for her. So automatic, she will be president. And he is going for a medical procedure that will knock him off and he will not be able to lead the country. And so she takes in for about a day or so, stand in for him as the president, occupies, power was transmitted to her, you know, for as long as he will remain in that condition, it, according to the law. And of course, God forbid anything happen, if that man dies today, she'll be sworn in. Because they were elected under the same ticket, according to the provision of their constitution. So Kamala Harris has fulfilled what William Branham spoke in, which year was that? I think 1933. He said he saw it in 1933 or so. We could say that. But you see, now you will notice that the entire message follower, because that is the reason you are asking that question.
Yes.
They are flashing it everywhere. When she became, when she was sworn in, it was celebration. When it was now power transmitted for her for some hours, it's celebration because it is a vindication of the ministry of William Branham, which is believed to be an end-time dispensational prophet. So for that, this is the vindication for us to listen to him. But I said, that is not the vindication. If not, Nostradamus will also be a prophet. Because there are things that that French physician spoke More than 100 years, the last century, that has come to pass. Many of them have come to pass. In Nigeria today, people like, in Africa, we have prophets, even in America, that prophesy world events that come to pass. What is, that will not make them dispensational prophets. This is what I keep telling the entire message people. You are flaunting the vindications, and the vindications that you are using are all controversial vindications. The vindication of the ministry of William Branham is the return of the bride to the Bible. If not for that man's ministry, it is through that man's ministry, the door of revelation was opened to the bride of Christ. And now this Bible is open to us. It's an anointing, it's a revival. That is the ministry for perfection. So to say healing, deliverance, and all the rest, word of knowledge, discernment, and all these are controversial. You are hearing people are investigating, in-depth investigation. I mean in-depth investigation that you cannot fault, because they show you all the evidence, you know, in trying to track those William Branham stated they were healed. And the method by which he was using for discernment, they are all following now the pillar of cloud. They are all, you know, facing it and debunking it. They are no light above his head. They are, you know, showing all manner of proofs, including the FBI director of questionable documents. They went to look for him. And what the man is saying is different from what we are reading in those sermon books. And the pillar of cloud about the day it appeared, he was not there. And all manner of this was an Air Force display in the air that created that. And all manner of, you know, so. And when Moses was sent to Israel, I mean to Egypt, to bring out Israel from Egypt, the sign, there was a voice that was going with the sign. If they will not believe the voice of the sign, of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the second sign. The emphasis is the voice. And when you begin to dwell on vindication, you will also now be dwelling on the man. So before you know what, the approach, I'm saying this because some of them listen to me, so that they don't go into this error and spoil this man's ministry. You know, when you dwell on the sign, the vindication, then you'll be talking more about the man than the message he brought. Anytime you come together unwittingly, you are preaching a man. Moses, 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 until we saw what they were doing with what he hung. I mean, the brazen serpent. Until another king had to come take and destroy it. You know, that it is just common. He gave it a common, just ordinary, you know. But you saw what it meant to them because of the miracles that followed that. The vindication. Until people hang this picture of William Branham at the altar in their churches, then they will tell you it is not his picture, it is the pillar of fire. So, Kamala Harris, yes, yes, yes. Then I say, so William Branham is a prophet. William Branham is a prophet. What is it? What is the message? The message is not America will have a woman president. Is that what God sent him to tell us? So why are we concentrating on all this? That is what pisses me out. You know, they send some of this, some of them send this thing to me. I say, is that our celebration? Go back to the Bible. It's the message. So, yes, what William Branham spoke has come to pass. A woman in the history of America has become the, Kamala Harris has become the first woman vice president, and even in, will enter history that she ruled America for about a day as the president. Praise God, according to what William Branham prophesied. And so what after that? So after that, what next? Go and baptize in the name of William Branham. After that, what do you do? Play only the tapes. It's not vindicated. Say only what the tapes say. It's not vindicated. We don't need the Bible again. Only the sermon books of William Branham. Is that why you are busy celebrating that what you spoke came to pass? You know. And then you are looking for a prophecy that has come to pass. And out of all the prophecies before your face, only one has come to pass. In all that you know, William Branham, before your eyes. This is the one and first and the only prophecy that you know that he gave publicly, and it came to pass later. Those seven visions, later it graduated to more than seven anyway. He gave them according to him. He saw them in 1933 or so. And he wrote them. I kept them somewhere. We are up to this moment, we have not seen it. So only him saw it. But we have no reason not to doubt him. I mean, not to believe him. You know, we have no reason to doubt him. We want to believe that he will not lie. But I am saying that on the basis of that testimony, it's not what will make me call him a prophet. What makes him a prophet is exactly what made John the Baptist a prophet. So William Branham is in the order of John the Baptist. And what vindicated John the Baptist was not miracles, signs, and wonders. What vindicated John the Baptist as one that Jesus Christ described more than a prophet. Among men born of woman, none has been greater than John the Baptist. Elijah and Elisha, with all the miracles they did, John the Baptist, without one miracle, was greater than Elijah, greater than Elisha, greater than everybody else that came before him, greater than Isaiah, Jeremiah, greater than Daniel, and greater than all the prophets you ever know. Yet, no single miracle, no healing, no discernment, because of one thing he did. He pointed people to Christ. And people followed Christ. And once he finished pointing people to Christ, he decreased and Christ increased. And that is the order of the ministry of William Branham. He came to point us back to the wholesome word of God. And once he delivered that, recorded on the tapes and left them for anybody. When once you listen to those tapes, messages that he taped, the evidence that you understood those tapes is not that you go and start playing the tape every day. You will run to the Bible. You will run to Christ Jesus. And not every day, Bram Bram say, William Bram say, Bram Bram, Bram Bram, Bram Bram, Bram Bram. They're trying to spoil the ministry of that man. That man came to point us to the Bible. Come back to the Bible. That is his vindication. His vindication is that we have a group of people that will come back to the Bible as it was in the apostolic days. That is his vindication. Not pillar of fire.
Amen.
That is his vindication. The vindication of Moses was that they pulled the people out of Egypt. That was his vindication. Not the Red Sea dividing. Yes, the Red Sea dividing. After all, now these signs shall follow them that believe. And the signs must be in the church. But monumental ministry, like Luther's vindication was not miracle signs and wonders, and yet it was a star messenger, was that he broke the Catholic system and brought the people out from Catholicism back to the Word of God. John Wesley was the same thing. William Seymour was the same thing. Their vindication was not miracle signs and wonders. Their vindication was the response of the people that responded to the message. And some of us have responded to the message of William Branham. I am a vindication of the ministry of William Branham. Not pillar of fire. I didn't see any pillar of fire. I didn't see it. I didn't see his healing. The word produced me. And then it's living. Like Elisha. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? It's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. This sign shall follow them that believe. Will Abraham came to re-emphasize it. And then, if you're a follower, then you will replicate the same thing. And not by hanging the picture of Will Abraham that they will know these are followers of Will Abraham. They didn't even have pictures before our brethren there from Antioch. They called them Christians. It was not the picture they were hanging in their places of worship of Jesus Christ. It was the life they were living. And the miracle signs and wonders they were doing that people say, these are followers of Jesus Christ. And by what Elisha did, they knew that this was a follower, this is a follower of Elijah. Joshua took over from Moses. Moses parted the Red Sea. And God told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. What is the evidence? Jordan was also parted and they walk on dry land. That is the vindication. And not be telling of history. William Brown spoke about Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You keep talking of yesterday, William Brown. Where is the God of William Brown? You can't start playing tapes.
All right, thank you so much.
William Brown preached a message and said, lifting out Jesus from the pages of the Bible. That's a very powerful statement. Every day. Lift him out and show. The word of God is quick and powerful. We don't come with the enticing words of wisdom of Marcus Supposes, but with the demonstration of power. This, it is written, this sign shall follow them that believe. And that is why the song that goes with this revival, one of them say, we are the word made flesh today. We are the word made the flesh. That is the vindication. Nothing more.
Thank you so much, sir, for drawing light. Okay, the next question. Shalom, Pastor, and Ask Your Pastor crew. Last time, you made me to understand that there is nothing wrong with a Christian belonging to the army. One of the practices of the army is looting or taking of spoils whenever they go out for operations. God actually commanded the Israeli army to do so. Is it still right today, as Christians are also in the army? Brother Daniel Achiri, Bamenda, Cameroon.
Brother Daniel, one of the practices, not one of the duties. One of the practices of government official is that they steal public fund. Should a Christian therefore join the civil service and work for government? That's the question you're asking. The duty of the army of any nation is to protect the territorial integrity of the nation. Protect the interest of the nation. And the interest of the nation or territorial integrity of the nation does not include looting. Looting is a bad practice. It's criminal. And that's why we have what we call war crimes. And there are war crime tribunals. So their practices, they are bad. A Christian will not go there. And one of the war crime is to catch a prisoner alive after disarming him and shoot him to death. It's a war crime. When you see a war prisoner who drops arm and surrenders, it's a war crime to kill. But there are people that will still kill. A Christian in the army will not do that because it's against the rule of engagement in such warfare. So it's wrong. Christian will not loot. Thank you.
All right. On Sunday, you taught us on the Exodus.
Yes.
And then you made a statement when you were talking about the fourth or the fifth Exodus, when you were quoting 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16.
Yes.
When you said that the voice of the archangel is not for the living.
Yes.
It's a ministry. It's like the ministry of
Jesus Christ. You were listening. I can see you were listening.
Yes. It's the ministry of Jesus Christ to the dead.
Yes.
So I'd like you to throw more light, because not just for myself now. Yes. It's like a new thing, hearing it for me. And I don't, I trust that for some people at home too, it's also a new thing, hearing that Jesus Christ also has a ministry to the dead.
Now, listen. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9 and verse 10, now that he ascended, who is that he that ascended?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
What is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? It is why that is during those 3 days, he descended to the lower parts of the earth. What was he doing there? Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 and verse 19 and 20.
For Christ also hath once suffered for sins,
yes,
the just for the unjust,
yes,
that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
Now watch it. Go on.
By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in
prison.
When
he descended, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Uh-huh.
Which sometime were disobedient.
Uh-huh.
When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah,
mm-hmm,
while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water.
Now go to chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 6.
For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit.
Also to them that are dead. So those who are dead also receive message in his first coming. That is why in John chapter 5, in the book of John, verse 28 and verse 29, marvel not at this. Read on.
For the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice.
They will hear his voice. The voice that that those in the grave that will hear. And when they hear, what happens? Verse 29.
And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that has done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
You see, when Christ has a ministry both for the living and for the dead. When he came at the first, he preached to the living, and then through death on the cross on Calvary, he went to the grave and preached to them. They are the ones in Matthew 27 that came out of the grave with him and went up. So also, it's a pattern. So also, in the divine agenda, he is going to come. That is why the order, I said, they shout. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself shall descend first with a shout. That shout is what is still going on now that brings us out of the dark ages. Until he finishes with us, get us ready to go while sitting at the mercy seat. He stands up in Revelation chapter 10. Let's go to Revelation chapter 10 from verse 1 to 6.
And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, 7 thunders uttered their voices.
Yes.
And when the 7 thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered, and write them not.
Uh-huh.
And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer.
So it's an end time event. The last thing that happens. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. The shout is for the living. The next one is the voice of the archangel. That is that archangel that we just saw in Revelation chapter 10. Then this is what he said. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The voice of that archangel that produces the seven thunders. And then, and with the trump of God. Now notice, when that happens, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds.
Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51 and 52.
Behold, I show you a mystery.
We
shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
That is the living, will be changed.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump.
That is that last stage, the trump of God. For
the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall
be
changed.
That are alive shall be changed. That is the process. So seven thunder is not for the living. That is why he told him not to write. Okay. All that the living need to know has been written. What he will be preaching to the dead, we don't need to know it. So he said, don't write it. But they will hear it, and that is what will make them come out of the grave. That voice of the archangel, which is that same voice in John chapter 5 or 28, he said, marvel not that for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, because he is the archangel. And that voice is the voice that produces the seven thunders. So if anybody says the thunder is revealed, it's just confusion, it's confusion. We are back to the Bible and are trimming our lamps of revelation.
All right. Online contribution. This is a contribution. Says, the next thing was a great woman, a church, a power or something will take over this United States to rule. The revelation of Jesus Christ, Reverend William Marion Branham, sir, there's a confusion here because he says it's a church. So we can't really say any prophecy is fulfilled, Brother Jesus David.
That is the reason why I said we don't need to be talking about this. That is not what makes him a prophet, because even these prophecies are controversial.
Okay.
You know, many of them are just predictions, you know. And so thank you for that contribution, Brother Jesus David. I believe it as you believe too. I agree with you totally. So you don't hear me talk about any prophecy, because there are still a lot of these prophecies are very controversial, very, very controversial. If I take time to read some of them, you will see, for instance, in God's covenant with Abraham, and this was preached in April 1956, it says, I predict this, that a woman will be president before we are annihilated. That's right. He said, I said that in 1933 by a vision. And then in 1964, in April 3rd, in a message entitled Jehovah Jireh, I quote, he gives seven things in 1933 that will happen. And now, he said, and now every one of them has come to pass. But two things, perfectly, just exactly, how that even President Kennedy will be taken in. Then in 1960, in July 16th, in a message entitled From That Time, I quote, he said, she'll either be president, vice president, or it will be the Catholic Church as a woman. When you begin to see such prophecies, such statements, and then you you want to hold him at his word, you can see that he himself said at the time, say, all the prophecies have come to pass, but two. Oh. And what are those two? The two that he was talking about was another prophecy that he gave. And then he gave this prophecy in 1964, July 26. I mean, he made reference to that prophecy, recognizing your day and its message. He said, how that women will wear garments and look like men, even like their underneath clothes, and will finally come to putting fig leaves like on them. How the immoral act, how they will act in this day. And then in another message preached in 1960 Tartu conference, I quote, he said, then I turned to look and I seen the United States was a smoldering, something had burnt it up. So he prophesied that America will be blown to pieces and America will be reduced, you know, to craters. Some bomb will be dropped. All the prophecies have come to pass. Only two left. He's the one that gave the prophecy, so he's watching them coming to pass. It's only two left. So that is America turning
to craters.
To crater. And of course, as at that time that he was speaking, he also gave another prophecy that cars would be in egg shape. So as at that time, the cars were not yet in egg shape. So it is now, you know, the aerodynamic shape of vehicles are now forming more and more, you know, into egg shape we are seeing today. That's what he saw. And of course, he saw the car that was without, you know,
a driver.
Driverless cars. They are producing them now. We have seen prototypes, and even the prototypes had been on before. So those messages, those prophecies are controversial, and we should not use them to vindicate that he was a prophet. Use the word that he brought us as his vindication.
Right. Okay, we have a call from Sister Onyinyechi from Bayelsa State. Shalom, Sister Onyinye. God bless you.
Hello.
Hello, Shalom. God bless you.
God bless you.
You can ask your question.
Please, I want to know, as a Christian, a sister that has the Holy Spirit, is it possible that we'll be having a bad dream, like seeing yourself eating a dream or having sex in a dream? That's a kind of having bad dreams.
Sister Onyechi, God bless you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
A sister or a brother filled with the Holy Ghost can be attacked by witches and wizards, can fall sick, can even die by sickness. Now, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the anchor of your soul. It does not prevent you from receiving all the attacks this flesh will have as long as we're in this house, call your body. So in the spirit, yes, you can be attacked, but they will not succeed because we will rise with the power that we have, for we overcome by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to know that is why we are to pray without ceasing. Remember that the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we are wrestling, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. So we will wrestle, but then he said, but the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That is why Apostle Paul said we should pray without ceasing. So they will attack us. In fact, all that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. We are in a battlefield and the enemy will fight us, but they will not succeed because we have power over them. The power they have over us was taken away on the cross of Calvary. Legally taken away. So we are to enforce our power, our right. That's why he said, when we come to Christ, we have come to Mount Zion. And the scriptures say, upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. And we have also come to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So the blood of Jesus is speaking for us. It speaks in the camp of the enemy to give the enemy reason why they cannot prevail against us. God bless you.
All right. We have another call from Brother Daniel from Imo State, Nigeria. Shalom, Brother Daniel. God bless you.
Good evening.
God bless you, Brother Daniel.
All right, Pastor. Yesterday, we played a video during the church service. The truth is that video was really the stimulus to pray.
That video is what?
The really ginger us to pray yesterday.
Okay, the video spurred us to pray.
That's right.
But the airman, what I want to do is, if it's a prayer, warfare prayer. You know, that was the time, I think so, 3 years ago. You spoke about mountain of fire and warfare prayer, and how it's not a kind of prayer. But it was warfare we prayed yesterday afternoon. We won't now change.
Brother Daniel, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Are you a member of the church, or you join us online?
I came out from church and I joined them. That was the time you looked at
it. Okay. Now, why I'm asking is to know how much you follow us. First and foremost, I preached a message that I titled How to Pray. And I stated the meaning of prayer. The meaning of prayer is going to a higher authority to invoke the power of a higher authority to act on your behalf. That is the meaning of prayer. Prayer is making a request before a higher authority. So now, if you now come and say, I want to pray. Any demon that come here, fall down and die, is that prayer?
It's a commandment.
No, it's not prayer. It is authority you are exercising.
Of course.
Now, so I said, always note, there is a difference between you praying and you exercising your faith, exercising your right, exercising your power. So I tell the people, I say, if you come, there is a time to pray and there is a time to exercise your power. Now, what I say is that because we are already given power to bind and to loose. We are given power. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast to the sea, and you don't doubt and believe that what you say will come to pass, you have what you say. These signs have followed them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. Correct?
Yes.
That is authority you are exercising. So, now, but this is what I say. You know, when people will say, I am going for prayers. If you are going for prayer, if you are going to pray, you go with a different posture. You are tabling your request, what you want God to do for you. People don't do it and claim they are praying. Now you come and exercise your power. Then you don't even have the faith for it. Because we all have our measures of faith. So I teach the people that the prayer is complete when you are coming before the Lord. When you come, you want to set aside a prayer moment. A section of it is first used to table your request to the Lord. Then after that, go before him again and ask for more faith, more power, more authority, because you are going to enter warfare session. Then you can now face any demon that visits me in the night. Holy Ghost of fire chases them. You are exercising your faith. That is not prayer. I hope you know that. So that is what I try to teach the people. And I say, you have been binding and losing, and the problem still continue, and you are still going, jumping from mountain to mountain, fire by fire, the dry fasting, and you got by fire, die by fire. I said, and nothing is changing. I say, go and pray. Take the matter to the Lord, and then hand it over to him. He knows what to do.
I think you see the word that just said explanation.
Thank you. God bless you, brother.
All right, sir. Another one I have. Please, yes. Forgive me. Okay, the Bible says the people of our warfare are not carnal.
Yes.
Okay, if they are not carnal, so why did Jesus go and sit out and escape in the temple with a physical approach?
No, brother. Brother, listen very well.
Yes, sir.
The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal.
Okay.
Where did he go to do that? He went to the temple.
Mm.
It is a house of prayer. They have turned it to a place of merchandise. The Bible tells us, gives us permission to also cast, excommunicate. So there are things that you do. He was not fighting the enemy. He was only setting things in order. When his enemies came, did he fight them when they came to catch him and to throw him, took him for crucifixion? Did he fight them? He didn't fight them. What did he say? Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they are doing. Now, one of the disciples, another account says it was Peter, that drew out his sword and cut off one of the enemy's ears. That is, our weapons are not carnal. And then he quickly told him, he that killed by the sword will die by the sword. He still took the ear and fixed it back, the creator that he is. The great physician that he is. He didn't fight them with the sticks and staffs that they came to fight him with. So, we are to go on our knees, a spiritually fought, not physically fought. That is what we are taught.
I will just go for now.
God bless you.
God bless you, brother. All right, we'll go on a quick break now. Shalom and God bless you. He still asks your pastor, do stay with us.